You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast bonus episode. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I am so happy to be here. I'm happy to share my feelings about the Alien franchise. Okay. I'm happy to share my feelings about the Predator franchise. Mm. And I'm happy to talk about Dr. Keggles.
Oh, all right. I think some of those we won't be talking about. I hope you didn't rank all of the Predator movies or throw Dr. Keggles into your ranking. But good. I'm glad you're excited. I wasn't 100% when you started, because it sounded like you were entirely not excited. But also, with me is Erica.
Stay away from her, you bitch! Stay away from her, you bitch! Stay away from her, you bitch!
And we are at the end of Robotober. That's right. We're talking about all the weird things that you probably didn't realize New World put out, including and starting with RoboCop the Animated Series. And we've talked about the Cremators. We've talked about an educational video starring Gary Coleman called For Safety's Sake in the Neighborhood. A lot of weird stuff that New World's put out. But now, look, it's Halloween. And it's time we do a franchise ranking, as we always like to do in October. Which, by the way, well, we are celebrating our 5th year. This is our 5th year as a podcast, guys. Yeah. You know what's true.
Everyone at the cafe is loving it.
That's right. The New World Pictures Podcast Cafe is just having a great time. They're getting half off their lattes tonight. Only half off. We can't afford to give free lattes. That's
half off the second latte. Half off the second latte. The first one is full price. The second one is half off.
Buy one, get the second one half off. All right, everyone?
Yeah.
See you here next year.
But nonetheless, what we're saying is a discount on 2 lattes should you want that much frothed milk in your system.
If you want your blood to look like android blood. Wait. I also just realized it's not stay away from her, it's get away from her. So I have already failed the franchise ranking. So how am I?
You're doing great. We're all doing great. 5 years in. And usually we do franchise rankings of franchises that New World has created. Now this time we spoke about the first Alien movie last summer. It was a nearly New World because Corman was approached by Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett to make the original Alien film. Perhaps you could say a nearly New World franchise.
You could say that.
It's a stretch. I don't know that you're 100% correct. But I think we could say it. We could say it. Yeah, we could say it. I mean, I've got
another podcast idea. Add it to the soap cast and to the panel cast or whatever it was called when we were talking about paneling and home repair. The drywall cast. What was it?
After we record these podcasts, I don't remember what we talked about at all. That part of my brain, like, it is ejected. Uh-huh. It is ejected like an escape pod.
Like that
out
little
of
disc.
My brain into just space.
It's a little disc. Overwritten. Goes in and out of the neck. Completely. Take that one disc out and just start afresh.
Yeah. Completely overwritten next week.
I will remember it because I am filled with half price latte. So I, I'm ready. But we are going to go through and we are going to rank the entire Alien franchise. And by entire, we are also including the 2 Alien versus Predator movies. So we are ranking 4 Alien movies, 2 mixed franchise movies, 2 prequels, and in betweenquel.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that there's no better way to say that, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't think there's another way to say it. I know that there's a technical term for it, but I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's in between cool. So that is a total of 9 movies that we are going to rank. And we're going to start with Erica, and then we're going to go around clockwise. That'll go to Mark and then
real
to
me. Real-time rankings.
Oh, let me just say quickly before we start, was there any thought? Did you have any, like, what was your thinking when it comes to your ranking before we reveal them? Mark, what was your thought process?
It was like the ones that I didn't like are at the top, and then the ones that I liked the most are at the bottom. So we'll start with the ones I didn't like the most.
Okay.
And it will work to the ones I like the most. That was my thinking. Is that that's incorrect?
Right. No, no, I think that's about right. Yeah, that's, well, okay. I just didn't know if there was a, some special, you know, well, we'll ask Erica. Erica, what was your thought process?
Mine was a couple of things. So for one, it was how, it was, would I watch this again? Always, you know, for me, it's always, is it fun? Is this fun? Mm-hmm. Would I watch it again? But this time around, it was... This time around, believe it or not, I had seen all of these movies except for Romulus. This was my first time seeing Romulus, but everything else I have seen before. However, with this caveat, other than the very first Alien, I remembered nothing. And I was like, oh yeah, all right, this one has a little girl. Oh yeah, Lance Henriksen is in this. Oh yeah, Winona Ryder's in this, and it all came flooding back as I was watching it. But I have tucked the Alien collection, if you will, deep in the recesses of my brain, where it almost felt like rewatches sometimes, where I knew what was going to happen. It was that weird thing when you're where you're almost like, am I having a dream? Like, is this a dream or is this real? Because I had forgotten so much about them.
Would you say that the Alien franchise was deeper in the file cabinet than the Children of the Corn franchise?
Yes, only because I hadn't seen many of the Corns, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the Corns were brand new to me.
Got it.
The Corns are where the Alien movies were before in her brain. So...
The Corns overrode the Alien movies.
No, they've been pushed to where the aliens were lurking and hiding in your memory.
Yeah, right.
And so now, should we throw on Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, you'll be like, all right.
I'd be like, oh, all right, because Urban Harvest rocks.
it's a very good one. It's a, kind of a bad example, but...
that is a good one.
It was the, it's a the bad, first one that came example. To mind. It's the first one that came to mind because it's a good one. So it's the one you want to remember.
It's really one worth remembering.
So let's start with our number nines. Erica, we'll start with you. What was your... Let's start. Because I think this is going to be interesting. I think the bottoms of these lists are going to be pretty interesting. And I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like the very top of the list or the bottom, depending on how you're looking at it, the ones and twos, if you will, might be somewhat similar, but I don't know. Let's find out. I have no idea.
I think I'm going to go ahead and place a bet here. I'm going to bet that our rankings are exactly the same. We've done this for 5 years. Yeah, it's five years, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I feel like we've learned a lot about each other.
Sir, are you getting another latte? Are you getting another latte? It's half price.
Is that your second one? Is it? No, it's your third. I'm sorry, your third goes back to full
third
price.
Third is full price. That's full price. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, sir. No, you don't have to leave. Okay, never mind. Anyway, my point is, I feel like at this point, we know what each other likes and doesn't like. And I feel like we are, like, we're all menstruating at the same time when it comes to these rankings.
Aww.
On that note, let's go to number nine, Erica. What's your number nine? Let's see if Mark's right.
Okay, my number nine is 2007's Alien versus Predator Requiem. This piece
indeed.
Of shit. Really? Both of you also? Yes. This piece of shit. Yep. Oh my God. I have an affinity for the movies of the aughts. You know, it's really, they do hold a special place, but not this one. This one is trash and it's boring.
By aughts, do you mean the 1940s?
50s? Hundreds, the early 1900s. Didn't people call the 2000s the aughts or no?
They did. We had a whole episode where we had to explain that to you, and you didn't realize what the aughts
Hey guys,
meant.
It's been wiped out by new memories from AVP Requiem. So sorry. This movie, I was like, oof. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I hated it all over again from start to finish. It's boring.
Yeah.
It has just a hint of Aliens and Predators. It's like the Michelob Ultra of Aliens versus Predators. It's just, it's there. And you're like, I mean, I think it's there, but it's just there for a second. It's very fleeting. My number nine.
Just a hint of it.
Yeah, just a hint. Yeah.
Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I find that it's the least Alien or Predator movie of all of the movies. It could be, it's a slasher movie that just happens to have really shitty CGI looking aliens and predators. And it's one of those, like, the aliens are in the front yard. No, wait, they're in the forest. No, wait, they're in the sewer. No, wait, they're in the high school gymnasium pool. No, wait, they're out in the street. Yep. No, wait, they're everywhere. They're like mice. They're all over the place. How the predator's going to stop them seems like a daunting task.
You just put a giant sticky trap, apparently, and that's how you...
With some peanut butter or a dried
peanut butter in the middle, cranberry or half of a corpse or something you could throw in there, just something to tempt them.
Peanut butter, preferably.
Some peanut butter or half of a corpse.
Whatever you have on hand.
If half of a corpse isn't available, a store-bought corpse is fine.
Right.
Well, I'm surprised you guys saw anything in this movie because it was so dark. I couldn't tell who was who or what was what. And I hate to bring that up because I know that was everybody's complaint about it. But it still holds true that it is very dark and very hard to see. I didn't care about the human characters in this. They are really put forward as if you saw the first AVP and you're like, you know what I cared about? All those humans. No, you didn't. And this one, even more so, no interest in any of them. I thought it was the one interesting part of it was like, hey, we want to go get that helicopter from the hospital. Well, we're going to go where everybody told us to go. That was like the one interesting moment of tension that they had as characters. And everything else was like, I don't care. And I barely even know who half these people are. I know the guy who's the sheriff. I know one guy who was in prison.
You don't know them. You don't care.
It's also a movie that's pretty separate from the whole Weyland-Yutani thing. So this is on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really kind of feels a lot like an Alien movie. Doesn't feel, it's probably swaying a bit more Predator, but not really even that. So yeah, not into this one, I'm sorry to say. All right, let's move on to 8. And I should say at this point, I actually, for the first time, I think when we've done a franchise, I wouldn't mind rewatching any of these. I feel like at some point again, it'll probably be some time, but I'll probably put on Requiem again.
The one we,
Why?
Yeah, yeah. I probably would. But let's move on to our 8s. Okay, let's see where we all are at our number 8. See if Mark's theory so far that we're all going to pick the same movies is held for number 9. Let's see. If we split up in number 8, go ahead, Erica. What's your number 8?
My number 8 is Alien 3. I hate Alien 3. I hate it.
Okay, so I went to see Alien 3 at a drive-in. In San Diego. It was a double feature with Dr. Giggles.
Wait, wow. I saw Dr. Giggles with you and your girlfriend at the time. We went and saw that in Claremont, but not at the Claremont.
No, but I went and saw it again.
Oh,
because Alien 3 was playing with it.
Ryan, you went to the drive-in with Mark's girlfriend?
No.
I went to see Dr. Giggles. Just Dr. Giggles.
He's just in the backseat of the drive-in like, hey guys, can you turn it up a little bit? Are we gonna talk through the opening credits? I really like to just immerse myself into
it's kind of a little quiet in here so it can really kind of get into the movie and get absorbed.
Guys, stop talking. I'm trying to listen.
Are you guys gonna kiss all this time or something? Because
Dr. Giggles was the first showing, and Alien 3 had been out for a while, and I hadn't seen it yet, and I was like, well, all right, we'll see Dr. Giggles and Alien 3. I hadn't seen Alien 3, so whatever.
Oh, really?
It'll be fine.
Interesting. I was like, I'm pretty sure I saw it with Mom and Dad, but I'm surprised.
It was they were looking for a double feature at the drive-in, and it had already been out for a long time because it was towards the end of summer, I want to say.
Sure.
Anyway, watched Dr. Giggles, got about 20 minutes into Alien 3, and we left. I have, except for Problem Child 2, it is the only other movie that I've left. And when I think back at that night, I think I stayed for the giggles and I left Alien 3. That is an indictment on Alien 3.
To be fair, your expectations for Dr. Giggles were at an appropriate low. But your expectations for Alien 3 were at for a sure. high. I mean,
for sure. Okay.
You weren't like, well, Dr. Giggles, let's see what you have.
I dare you to impress me.
I have some. I think you've got a pretty high bar to clear.
You sure were on L.A. Law, and I want to see what you can right. do now in this different role.
I saw you in Dark Man, and I was intrigued by what you could do with a murderous killer.
Funny, doctor. You go Dark Man, I go L.A. Law. That's the separation. Well, that's the DMZ between you and I.
I went Dark Man because you went L.A. Law. If you'd gone Dark Man, I would have brought up L.A. Law. We would have brought up the two.
Fair, yeah, fair.
Yeah. But yeah, Alien. So is that, so Mark, are you saying that Alien 3 is your number 8?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Holy crap,
Mark. God, that movie sucks so bad.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, we're all in on Alien 3. And I know that this has been kind of rediscovered by people who didn't see it in the theater.
Oh,
I saw
it
in the movie theater. It was so disappointing. I'm still mad at the movie for ditching out on the storyline from Aliens. I'm just still mad. Yep. Now, because I have the Alien quadrilogy, I looked into some of the extras because I was like, why did they do that? I still don't know the exact answer. I didn't get to listen to a commentary, but I do know that they made this movie because they had to get to a release date. They had set a release date and they had to make it to it. They already had another director lined up. The guy, his name is Vincent Ward. He had just directed The Navigator, which is a movie released by New World in Canada. Ooh. So we will be talking about that one. And so he was all set to do the third one, had come up with a storyline about a planet made of wood that she gets to, which isn't quite prison. There was a draft earlier by David Twohy of Warlock, who wrote Warlock for New World Pictures, and that did have a prison planet. His was more like these religious fanatics that she becomes a part of and an alien's there. So they use part of it. He still gets story credit, but they fired him off the movie and then brought on David Fincher. And this is his first movie ever. And they didn't trust him either. And they had already dumped off another director. And they basically brought in, they were working on the script as they went. Walter
they
Hill.
They went into production with an unfinished script.
Yeah. And they had to make this release date. And boy, does this movie still look like that is exactly the case. I still love the alien point of view shots. That's not in any other movie. And I still think that's kind of cool. Charles Dutton's great. Charles Dance as the doctor is very good. But the whole thing feels just rushed, half-baked. It's just not, it feels like an incomplete story. I don't know why we have this story to end off this trilogy, which at the time is what we were thinking it would be. And it's just feels like, what? That's the movie? And it still feels like that way to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just in all these years since, it just hasn't changed. I watched it and I was like, no, I feel the same way. And that's not going to be the case for all the movies on this list. And I've had some different feelings about some of the other movies in the Alien franchise, but Alien 3, no, still number 8. Let's move on to number 7. Let's see if we're all going to pick the exact same film. Erica, let's start with you.
Yeah, I don't know. This might be, we'll see.
This might be where we veer off. Yep, yep.
But my number 7 is 2004's Alien versus Predator.
No.
Is this where we go?
With you there.
This is where we go.
With you there.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to take this departure. I love Expeditions just as much as the next guy. You know, everybody knows this about me. I love Expeditions. I love rushing them. I love being unprepared and just tossing money at people just to get them to lead my expedition. But even with those high hopes and everything else in place, Lance Henriksen at the helm, I remembered seeing this one and at the time was just like, it's just a little silly. It's just a bit silly. Like the Predators work with, just gets a bit silly. And all this, it kind of undoes all the scariness of the Predators. Like, you just need to connect with them and then you can work together and
then you can be
heroes together and be buddies and pallies. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, a Predator is terrifying, and I just think it really undoes a lot of that and just makes it goofy. And it's not scary at all. And any of the kind of the tension set up with it being like this remote location and in Antarctica, and even tying it back to like, it goes so far back in time that that's why all these different civilizations are seen in this, in the underground maze and the underground civilization. It undoes all of that. As soon as the predator is like, "Gag, I'm going to mark you and make you a weapon." I'm like, oh, come on. This is getting silly. It's getting silly. So
yeah.
That's my number seven.
Okay. Well, Mark, you went another way. So did I. What did you pick for number seven?
I'm going with 2012's Prometheus. I fucking hated that movie. And here's the thing. Rarely, with the exception of one other movie in this list, have we seen more people being more quote-unquote smart people doing incredibly stupid shit. And that's like the epitome of this movie. Also, this is a movie, it's an alien movie, but Ridley Scott didn't really want to make another alien movie, so he only put a little bit of aliens in it and built up this whole other world around it. And that's bullshit. That's like you waiting with bated breath for the new U2 album, and it comes out and they're like, "Here's the thing, it's a brand new U2 album, but we've got Larry Mullen Jr. singing all the songs, and Bono's just going to do backup on a couple tracks. But it's still a really cool U2 album, right?" You'd be like, "What the fuck is this?" And that
I would be all in on that U2 album. I would be, I would actually probably buy my first U2 album. I'd be like, "Okay, let's listen to this. Let's give old Larry a shot here. I'm in.
Yeah.
For a whole record, was like, "I'm just going to sit back and play."
Now, if their next album is named Prometheus, then this podcast is more popular than we thought.
Yeah, then he's well, he always listens. Bono always listens.
Yeah,
or at least sure. Larry Mullen does.
Right.
Okay, well, for me, number seven is 1997's Alien Resurrection.
What? Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like this one, too. And that's what's...
A hard disagree on that.
I actually kind of like this one. And I've always kind of dug it and somewhat defended it. It's silly fun. The underwater sequence is good. Sigourney plays a weird alien Ripley, which is so weird that this is a concept. I mean, the fact that you're cloning people at this point is like, okay, the wheels have come off. We don't know what we're doing anymore. And then sets up a sequel that we'll never see until Aliens versus Predator Requiem. Because the whole thing was them going to Earth and having aliens on Earth. Well, we finally get it in that AVP sequel. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always thought the way I always described the franchise, the fourth one was kind of sci-fi. It kind of is. It's more that than a horror film. Certainly not a horror film. Even with Brad Dourif doing everything he can in a small role.
You turned your back on Brad Dourif.
He's the only reason to watch that movie.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But at the same time, like 100%. I recognize it's still Alien Resurrection, so it's number seven. I mean, that's all this to say is like, it's not a good movie. So... It's one I like watching it. And I may say that again for another movie, which is further up the list. But, Alien Resurrection, number seven. Let's go to number six. Erica, what's your number six? Now we really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, my number six wasn't too far off from Mark's number seven, because my number six is Prometheus.
Okay.
I also agree. Prometheus is like, wait, what? It feels like I agree with everything that you said about it. But what puts it up a little bit higher for me is when I close my eyes and I think about things that I wish I could unsee. Many, many things come to mind, but specifically for Prometheus is the scene where Elizabeth Shaw has to give herself a C-section. Scene alone, it's gory. It is tough to watch. It's scary. And you know, it's just painful as hell. And she only has those two little pain shots and gives them both, tries to time them out. About when it will be the most painful to give them to herself. it's just like, oh, it is hard to watch. It is hard to watch.
Yeah.
And then I think she doesn't let it go. Like, then she zips up, finds her way back to her room, to her suit, even putting on her suit. She's like, ah, you know, she doesn't let it go. So she's still dealing with that pain. And I just, that scene alone for me, I'm like, wow, I almost put it up higher, but I have other stronger reasons for why it isn't. Probably it isn't just because of, kind of the derailment that it takes. But that, oof. That scene, that stays with you.
That scene, it's a great scene. It's a great scene.
That's a tough one. So, yeah, so that's my number six.
All right, Mark, you're number six.
I guess following suit with my previous, it is 2017's Alien Covenant. Because, again, we have smart people doing stupid shit. Why did you go send three quarters of your crew on a planet, no fucking helmets? You have an android. Send him out. Mm-hmm. Go fucking see if you die. Go step on shit. Go take a soil sample. Go do something. Mm-hmm. Nope, we're just going to walk around. No, even in the first Alien, they kept their fucking helmets on. These guys just walk around like, ooh, whatever. They've got wheat here, so it must be safe.
Got lost in the wheat.
We got lost in the wheat. And then it's just...
it's a bunch of catchers in the rye.
Through the whole movie, everyone is making a dumb decision after a dumb decision. And on top of it... now, granted, the last two movies, I want to give some credit where credit is due. Between Prometheus and Alien Covenant, they're made by Ridley Scott. Those two and Alien are the best looking Alien movies of all the Aliens. I mean, from a stylistic, from camera angles, from sets, looks really beautiful. But the problem with Alien Covenant is, like, there's so much CGI that the blood just, like, gore is just like blood mishmash. It's like a mashed potatoes of gore that you're like, that's not really gory. It's just like you splattered red everywhere. And you're like, well, it doesn't make me queasy because it just looks like fake everywhere. Just fake red splattered all over the place. So all of that plus, I mean, just the whole storyline, you're like, this is so stupid. Why are these people doing this? These people should be smarter. And they're not. And I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm right with you because my number six is Alien Covenant.
Ooh, thank you.
This was a surprise to me, and because I watched this before and I was like, oh yeah, Alien Covenant, it's fine. It's not bad. And I rewatched this going, this is not very good. And part of it is, like, I think it's two movies. One is Ridley Scott's trying to kind of do a sequel to Prometheus that a lot of people were sort of not so keen on or were thrown by or didn't feel it had enough alien stuff. So he says, no problem. And movie number two is all that alien stuff that you guys seem to like, but they're like, they don't work together and it feels way less inspired. And it feels like Ridley Scott's like, well, all right, well, here's some alien shit, I guess, you know, some grisly deaths to look at. We actually watched all these movies with our kids because they had not seen any of the Alien movies. But they were out on this one, like midway through. They were like, this one's gross. And I think there's something to that, like they're more used to that sort of digital blood and all that stuff kind of works for them. But you and I are sitting there going like, I don't know. This looks pretty fake. But I just don't know what the point is.
But also
of this
the first
is.
Like 45 minutes of it are just, there's not a single alien. And you're like, so they were bored and then they were grossed out.
Right.
Yeah. It's also the only for Alien movie that like fully, like ironically rips off Galaxy of Terror and has a shower sex scene.
Yes.
You're like, oh yes. Really? And you almost died and now you're going to have a
Forbidden
shower
World.
Sex scene?
Forbidden World, you mean.
Or Forbidden World. Right, yes. Right.
Yeah. That's and Eric and I were absolutely, we're like, oop, look at that. Yep. Like, and I thought of Alan Holzman, who we talked to about it, who directed the movie, because it's like, it comes at a place where it's like, now? Now you're gonna have a shower yeah. sex scene. Mm-hmm. Like half your mm-hmm. crew is dead, yeah. and you're like, "Well, let's get it on." And it was just like, "Oh wow, that's wild."
Honestly, for me, that's what bumped it up to my number five. Not to skip ahead, but shower sex scene. It bumped it up. I was like, you know what? Sorry, Prometheus. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It bumped it up to my number five. Also, it also has Fassbender on Fassbender action, which I think
it does.
Who mm-hmm. wouldn't want to see Michael Fassbender fight himself? I just, who amongst yeah. us wouldn't right. want to see that?
Right.
I, you know, but that's the thing. And I feel like Mark saying this, but to me, part of it, what made me upset with the prequels of this series is that why does Walter, is he able to heal himself? This is prior yeah. to us getting to Ash. Why do we have floating digital screens on board the ship when Idris Elba is walking around that's not how it was on Alien. Does our technology right. lose? Do we degrade by the time we get to the first Alien? It's like, why did we not? Did nobody think about that? Was Ridley Scott just like, mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm making an Alien sequel at this point, so who cares? I just want to make it the way I make
who cares?
It. And like, mm-hmm. right. I was like, why you learn from David or maybe not, or you had Walter, which you improved from David, but then you decided to not use any of that stuff for Ash. I don't understand how.
Also, but, why wouldn't Daniels just put a little bit more rigor into her testing? Are you David or are you Walter before you go into the cryo chamber?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a scientist, like apply some of that scientific theory to
yeah,
proving
also,
who this person is.
That's, again, the other thing with the ending. The ending is like, cool, I have all these colonists, and I've got these two little embryos of aliens, and we're going to go off, and we're going to, like, create these. Like, so, I guess he's creating an alien world out on this planet that they're going to. But I'm like, this feels like, so there are tons of aliens. By the time we get to Alien, there's already a whole planet of them that David has set up, and that we're never going to get back to David's storyline. So I'm like, what are we? I just was like, what are we doing
thank
here?
God.
What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. The first half is a mess. The second half rocks. There's a lot of loose ends that will never be tied up. That's why it's right there in the middle. Yeah. And you know what saves
yeah.
it? Shower sex scene. That saves it. That saves it from the bottom. Skyrockets it to the middle.
I feel
middle.
Like that was Ridley Scott looking back at New World Pictures and being like, okay, I'm going to do a little nod back to you.
I feel right. like he's going to be surprised by that, that he's stealing from the alien ripoffs that came after. But I love that 5 years into this podcast, you're like, you know what? I like the ones that have some, maybe even only one exploitation element. That bumps it up for you. But you've said you're five. Let's go to Mark. What's your number five?
My number five is Alien Resurrection.
Okay.
So here's the thing about Alien Resurrection. I don't, it's really quite bad.
you got number five.
but you have, it's interesting to watch. Because you had Joss Whedon do the script, and he was trying to make a funny alien. But the director was like, no, we're going to do it straight. So you have all these one-liner quips that, if done right, could be kind of funny, but they're not. They're done totally dry and straight, which mm-hmm. makes it weird.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed that. Because there's like nobody's winking at lines they should be winking at. Mm-hmm. And they're just like saying them straight. You're like, that sounds perverted and dirty the way that you said that. But the director told you to. So
they got a funny script and then they got a French director to direct it.
Right.
Who barely spoke any English and needed an interpreter. So how is he going to interpret the humor? Apparently he didn't.
And then he didn't, because he was like, we're going to do this straight. We're going to do this as a straight horror movie. And Joss Whedon, you know, was really pissed because he was like, you didn't, like, the script was kept the same, but you forgot, like, there's all these comedic beats that I put into the script.
Yeah.
I disagree about the underwater scene because no one no matter how fucking good a shape they are, could have been underwater that long. They are all going to die. They're underwater for 27 minutes and before they come up for air. There is no fucking way that any of those people are going to live. Then, on top of that, then we have Sigourney Weaver, alien baby?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, what? Here's the thing. First of this franchise.
we'll get to it. But I struggled. There was part of me like, you've got to be kidding me. And the other half of me was like, I kind of love this.
That's where I'm then, at with it. That's exactly where I'm at with it.
When he's looking for nurturing from mama, I'm kind of like, this is so dumb. And also really cool.
Yeah.
So that's why it ranks higher on my list, because for all the dumb things it does, I was like, it's kind of funny to watch. It's a fun movie to watch in a weird way.
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I know it's lower on my list, but I totally agree. I have the same feelings.
Well, then bump it up. I mean, let's just...
We're on number fives, though. So when we're talking about fun, I'm going with AVP, Alien vs. Predator from 2004 for number five.
All right. Yeah. I'm with you.
Because...
Incorrect.
Let's hail the... let's all... Can we take a second to hail the king? Paul W.S. Anderson, who is in his follow-up here to Resident Evil, the very first Resident Evil movie. I love Paul W.S. Anderson. He does what he does best. He sets up action sequences after action sequences in a story that won't challenge you or worry you. You won't be like, wait, what's happening? I don't care. Because you don't need to care. He just steals enough from the comic books of Alien vs. Predator to be like, look, there's a temple and these things have been happening. It doesn't matter. And now let's kill people off and we'll do these cool action scenes. And you'd be like, who's that guy? I don't know. He's dead. I don't care. We're having fun. Like, that's what he does so well. He's so good at it. In fact, he might be our finest modern exploitation director. I mean, he made Death Race. He made all the Resident Evils, Death Race. I haven't seen Monster Hunter yet, but he has Event Horizon all out of nowhere. He did the first Mortal Kombat movie. Like he gets exploitation movies in a modern context. And while a lot of those movies you won't particularly say are masterpieces, you're going to be like, but they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Event Horizon is the exception to that.
The exception. That's the exception one. That one rules. Yeah. But like, yes, he knows how to make some fun movies. He doesn't overthink it. So that's why I put this a little higher, AVP, just because I was like, I don't know. I had a good time watching it. Even the kids, when we showed the kids, they were like, that one was pretty fun. And I was like, right. That's what it was. It was fun. Is it a great movie? It's not the best of all cinema, but I don't think AFI is going to like rethink their list. But,
it's not going to get a Criterion Collection, you don't think?
Dude, I would love it if Criterion put out AVP. I would be like, Criterion, well done. I will pre-order that. Well done. I would love it if they did that. But I don't think they will. But I thought that was a lot of fun. All hail Paul W.S. Anderson. All right, let's move on to number four. Erica, what's your number four?
My number four, don't come at me. Is Alien Romulus.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'm not all coming right. at you.
I can't rank it any higher because it's too gross. It is gross. And it was, there's a lot of yucky parts that I, again, would like to unsee and unwitness. And
I would like to unwitness that.
I would like to unwitness it because I was like, oh, woo. I think it takes some fun twists and turns. There was a lot of unexpected things in it that if you were like me, I tried really hard to avoid internet spoilers and to, it's very hard to do these days to try to not, read things or see,
Right. Or have things
pictures or stills or just to have things spoiled for you when you're not even trying to have it spoiled. And there were a few things for me that I was like, oh, well that was interesting or that was surprising or whatever. But to me it's not rewatchable because it's still too gross for me. So that's why I ranked it where I did. Without saying too much. Hopefully that wasn't too spoilery.
No, not at all.
So, Mark, your number four, are you joining?
My number four is, I feel like we're chasing each other, but we're not quite there yet. My number four is Alien versus Predator. All the reasons that you described, Ryan. I was making dinner while I was watching this. And I was going out to the grill and coming back into the house. And you're right. I'd walk away for a couple minutes. I'd come back in. Was I like, wait, rewind. I don't know what's happening. Nope. I was like, I'm back in. Cool. You're good. I got this. Yeah. Man, this is easy. This is snackable content. I can watch a few minutes. I can walk away.
Yeah.
Come back.
You know, after a good action sequence, you're like, oh, now we're on to chit chat. I'll be right back. I got to just make sure. I just got to flip the stakes. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You got Lance Henderson back, which is a total wink to like, look, he's back.
Love that,
you know?
He's back, yeah.
And it is, Erica, I totally agree. It is dumb. Mm-hmm. It is probably the most of all of the movies. It is just a dumb action movie that happens to have aliens and predators in them.
Yeah.
It could be anything else, which I know was my complaint with Aliens versus Predator Requiem, but that movie just really sucked. This one was just, it was like fun, dumb action sequences for an hour and a half. And I was like, I'm having a good time and I don't have to overthink it. This is really easy.
Yep, I agree. And yes, so Erica's 100% right. They do make the Predator a little bit like, come on and be pals with me. Let's join forces. But, you know, which is a little silly, but still, it's, like you get your
own staff that you can use for battle. I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
Not buying it. Not selling Eric on this. Oh, that's all right.
I miss my seagull.
Speaking of needing my seagulls, this is a huge surprise for me, my number four, and I please don't come at me, but my number four is Prometheus from 2012.
It took you this long.
No one is more surprised than me about this, and I'm going to tell you why I put it here. It's only because this at least felt like an inspired Ridley Scott. And I agree with you, Mark, his alien movies look fantastic, and the design of them look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Engineers aside, the actual physical engineers aside, this felt like he actually, because we actually watched Covenant before. We actually watched them in order, with the exception of Covenant. We watched before Prometheus, and after watching Covenant, which I was like, "Oof, this really feels like he was like, all right, here's your stupid alien shit." And then I'm going to have a very long scene where David talks for half an hour, but I gave you some alien shit, so just get off my ass. And then this one felt like at least it felt like it was a story he was excited and interested to tell. Now, what did he tell that story? Well, not really. At best, I can call this Ridley Scott's new nightmare. It's like he's trying to do an alien, but doesn't want to do it the old alien way. But I also don't think it works. But
Larry Mullen Jr. would disagree.
Just you wait until I sing my own album. And like I thought the prologue from Covenant, that little opening moment that he has with Wayland, that would have been way better in Prometheus. It's like you explained David a movie later. It's like, okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
And again, the ship's technology drove me crazy. It's all better than the Nostromo. It drove me nuts. I was like, what are we doing? But anyway, I just enjoyed it more than I was anticipating. I was anticipating Prometheus being at the dead bottom. And I was actually like, it's fun to see Ridley Scott make a movie where he actually was interested. And there's a movie he was not interested in, which is earlier in the ranking, and one that he was interested in. I don't think it works, but I was like, I respect Ridley Scott, so I'm putting it at number four. Okay, so no one's killed me. That's good. We're on to number three. Yep. Erica.
Still alive. My number three, I mean, if you've been playing along and keeping diligent notes, you can probably already guess that my number three is Alien Resurrection. I am here for it for all the reasons that you hated it. Alien Resurrection.
No, I did not hate it. I didn't hate it.
I think.
Yeah, that's my number five. I don't hate it.
it was funny to watch it with the kids because of exactly the point that was made about the script being funny, being written to be funny and have these one-liners, but then being directed to be, you know, pretty straight. Because they were like...
Not pretty. Whoa. Like, dead straight. Like, straight characters making straight comments.
Yeah, because they were just kind of like...
It's heralded as a comedy classic.
It's one of the classics. The kids were like, well, that's weird. Like, why would he say that? Like, right. Why is that? Right. Why is that character like hate women so much? Or why does he hate basketball? Or like, why is he trying? Why doesn't he just want to play basketball with Ripley? Why is he being so mean to her? You know, like he just right. it was funny to watch it with them. But I mean, come on, Winona Ryder, and she's just a little synthetic person. She doesn't know it. She's just a little synthetic, and she doesn't have any idea. I think it's great. I love how weird it is that Ripley is a clone, but is also his alien blood, and she has those weird thick nails that they never talk about, like the thick black nails, and she's like extra strong and just, I don't know, there's so much weird super stuff good at about basketball. It. There's an entire scene devoted to, I guess, show her skills, but with a basketball. It's so unnecessary. That should have been her... in a weapons room. That should have been her, like anything else, but it's like her with the basketball with what's his name from Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's
Ron Perlman.
Like it's just Hellboy hilarious. Himself. Oh, yeah. It's my number three. I would rewatch that anytime. Highly rewatchable.
I would too. That's the thing. I can rewatch a lot of these. I know I put it earlier, but like I enjoyed
it. Yeah. You put it number seven, Ryan. You put it seven. You only put it two up from AVP Requiem.
My rewatchability starts at number five, which is this one. Right. So, I'm not watching Alien 3 again.
It's possible I will forget these feelings I have now and I will watch it again. That's all I'm saying. The other ones, though, I feel like I could rewatch. All right, but we're talking about Mark.
We need Mark's number three.
My number three is Alien Romulus.
Nice.
Look.
Yeah. Look, that's right.
I don't know why, but I really like this movie.
Me too.
It takes some wild swings.
Yes.
Wild swings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even the end, I'm not going to be not the spoiler, but you guys know, even the end, which I would understand if someone said that was absolutely asinine, stupid. Nope.
But I
totally
was in.
Totally loved it.
I was in.
That was awesome. And it was the first to reintroduce the old alien ships. And because of my love of the first two movies, like hearing the sounds of those sort of closing doors, the ones that spin and close, that the metal ones that like Dallas was trying to get through when he's trying to kill the alien in the first one, hearing that sound effect again. Mm-hmm. I know it's just a sound effect, but like to me, I was like, I'm back in. We've got like the old looking ship. We got the old looking design. They definitely make a lot of callbacks to the first two movies. Some of which works, some are a little bit too on the nose, and you're like, got it. But I still was totally in. I thought it was also the first, in my opinion, real horror movie since the first one.
Yeah.
Like this is trying to be a horror movie, not an action movie.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of super stressful scenes and moments.
Yes.
When I don't think it's just when the three have to be quiet. That was so good.
That
was stressful.
Yeah. Very stressful.
Stressful. Yes.
I agree. And this is my number three, too. I dug this. And there is too much fan service. There is a bit of a callback to like literally almost all of the Alien movies in this. Even Prometheus, which I'm like, okay, but like you ease up. It's okay. You don't have to go that far, but that's okay. I still really loved it. I loved the mining planet in the beginning. We're back into real people dealing with Weyland-Yutani again. And, you know, I just dug the world. This felt like a lived in world and I got brought into it. It had characters. It actually had characters. Now, some of them were shitheads and they were the worst, but they felt like real people. And right. I was in to watch them. And I was like, this is what they've needed. They've needed people, like characters that are interesting.
I will say the setup for the movie, while not like it is a logical setup of what humans would do in the situation that they're in, but the setup of how this group goes, gets together and goes up into back into space is stupid. But
I don't know.
It's not far fetched. It's not far fetched, stupid. I'm just like, that's a dumb thing to go do. But I'm still in. So but
they're young, and I get why they did young. It. I mean, you know. Also, like, just want to shout out, I really enjoyed a lot of people in it, but David Johnson as Andy. Holy shit, dude. What a performance.
He is so good.
So good, dude. He's playing layers. It's very subtle. He is amazing in this movie. And like, if anything else, if talk about rewatchability, I'd want to just watch that guy play Andy again. So damn good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. I totally dug this. Not only that, I saw this one in the theater in 4DX. Which I normally think is silly, and it wasn't planned, but it just happened to be the showing we could make. And it actually was extremely absorbing because all the sequences where they're like at zero gravity, like the chairs were sort of moving in unison with them and got super into the movie. Cool. It was actually a really, normally I think 4DX is really dumb and I reserve it for movies that don't need 4DX because I think it's funny. But like this actually really worked. I was like, wow, this actually added something. And usually it doesn't add anything, but it makes me laugh. And so, but anyway, Alien Romulus, that's my number three. Let's go on to our number two. And I feel like we might have some.
Think we're going to come back together here. I feel like we're going to come back together.
Let's find out. Let's find out. Erica, what's your number two?
My number two is Aliens 2.
Are we back?
We're back.
It's very good. It's action packed. I mean, we get to see Lance. We get to find Newt. I mean, it's just good. It's good. Highly rewatchable.
Endlessly quotable, rewatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aliens is great.
Probably like even more to that like Forbidden World kind of world because they literally have the Skotak brothers doing some of the effects like from that they did in like Galaxy of Terror and Battle Beyond the Stars. Like there's a lot of, dare I say, DNA of New World in Aliens, and it's just fun. Aliens is super fun. Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Right. And when it came out, I mean, you had Bill Paxton being the most Bill Paxton-y character that he could at the time. I mean, you know, he was still coming off of Weird Science.
Weird Science. And
he was just playing a Bill Paxton-y character. You had Paul Reiser, who, you know, was on a hit TV sitcom, and he's playing a bad guy.
Yep.
And this movie is, not only was it like super action packed, which made it fun and different from the original, but it's incredibly quotable. And I can't tell you how many times, and my wife will do it too, when something comes up, like they mostly come out at night. Mostly. We quote that all the time.
Yeah.
So good. Such a good movie.
It's a great film. It's a total classic. There's only one movie in this franchise that could be better. though I will say, our kids, when they watch this, I think their number one would be Aliens. But Erica, you can tell what our number ones. It's pretty obvious. But what's our number one?
It's obvious. It's Alien.
It's Alien.
Yeah.
It is that tension that he builds in Alien. It's just I still, when I rewatch it, I'm thinking of you and I, Mark, watching that in our family room on a Saturday morning, post chores, and you know, trying to make it as dark as possible, and me sitting in Dad's chair and just being freaked out, just like holy crap, just so tense.
It's also, I think, maybe the wettest of the Alien movies. Everyone is real wet, either by sweat or by like there's an unusual amount of condensation for this spaceship. And I mean,
including the area where they just have chains dangling and
just
water.
Chains hanging. I mean, you got chains.
I don't even know what that part of the ship is, and I don't want to know. I never want to know. I've never looked into it because I'm like, I don't want to know. I love that it's there. I don't know what it is, and I don't care.
It's just the wet room.
I would assume it's part of the HVAC system, but I mean, that seems
I said I don't want to know, Mark. I said I don't want to know.
Also, never bring a cat into space.
Never.
That's a bad idea.
Never.
But I mean, the sets, the time, the pacing, this movie takes a long time to get moving. But you're so interested in these characters, and they build a world that you're quickly, like, the fact that the very beginning of the movie is them all coming out of the cryosleep chambers, and they don't know why, you're immediately like, what's going on? Where are these people? Why are they awake? What's about to happen? Like you're it, and so it buys the time to let you get to know them and explore with them, which that alone, like I mean, we could talk about the whole movie, but I love, like, from the beginning to when John Hurt, when the alien pops out and John Hurt, like, I love that beginning so much because when we were watching it on that Saturday morning, that was when I was the most scared, because you're like, I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm scared to death, because they took their time to build the world.
Yeah.
And they did what Erica brings up all the time. They should have listened to her and not brought him back on the ship. Just basic
listen protocol. To the smart lady.
Listen to the smart lady. The whole franchise is about, you know what? These protocols exist for a reason, guys.
Totally.
That's the franchise in a nutshell.
Plus, one other thing, and I totally agree. One other thing is that they, you have the, what is the name that they have? The when the alien is sitting in the driver's seat of the ship that crashed, that I know people have given it a name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The space jockey.
The space jockey.
Yeah, which we find then is one of the engineers.
But we didn't have to, because what made it so great and what I loved about it is that you have Dallas shining a flashlight on it, and they never explain it, and they don't need to. You're just like, what the fuck is that? And that's what makes it scary. We don't need to know the answer to that riddle.
Yep. No, we don't. We don't. And it turns out when we find out, we're like, oh, I mean, I guess. Still my number four for some weird reason. I feel like that's going to change next time. This you ask me about these rankings in, I don't know, another month, it's probably going to be different. But anyway, Erica, your thoughts on Alien? I know that I think our kids did indeed ask all those questions, Mark. So you and I sitting there enraptured, quiet, as you probably gripping blankets, just me like, what is this movie?
Afghan.
Yeah, and our kids were like, why are they waking up? Who are they? What's going on? We were like, you just need to watch it. Just watch it.
It was, well, and I think for them too, you have to keep in mind that they're like, okay, it's called Alien. I've seen the box. I've heard things about it. So like,
they've seen the iconography of the alien, like a bunch.
So they're like, where is it? It should be right away, right? Within the first 3 seconds of the movie. I mean, it's like, there's no patience because there's no, that's what they've been raised on with, on demand and streaming and everything else and the internet, like they're digital natives. So they're like, okay, Alien, let's go. All right. It's been 30 seconds. I don't see any aliens. Okay. It's been 30 minutes. Dad, where are the aliens? Where are they waking up? It was just like, get to it. So I think that's why
fair,
they definitely.
You asked the same thing in many of these rewatches. You're like, get to the alien.
But some of them, to be fair, we were clocking it. Covenant, for example, it's like 48 minutes before you see a single alien. That's too many minutes Yeah. That is too many minutes.
For sure.
We're far down the road. Too many. We're far down the road at that point.
At this point, I'm hoping the movie's about to wrap up in the next 30-ish. And you haven't even shown me an alien yet. Like,
if it was 48 minutes for Covenant, then it had to have been 2 hours and 20 minutes before Prometheus showed you the alien.
You didn't see the alien in Prometheus, to be fair. You only saw like that one scene where she had a little squid.
Right, which was like 3 hours and 25 minutes into the movie, right? I mean, Prometheus is the length of Das Boot, the director's cut. Am I wrong?
That's why it's his new nightmare, because he said, let's make another alien. But what if instead of alien, we just talked about creation?
And everyone's like, okay,
but the creation of the aliens? No. Humanity. Like, oh, I mean, okay, but
boring. Can he fight himself? Come on, let's go. Make him fight himself.
And that's Larry Mullen singing the whole time, and Bono coming in at like song 8 on the album, just going, bop. And that was it. You're like, wait, that was him, right?
Oh. Bono just has to sing backup while Larry sings lead. He's just going to pull like a Michael McDonald.
On one song.
He's going to be like Michael McDonald producing the record, just singing backup. In his like, he's like, I'm a huge star. I could absolutely kill this song when I'm going to let Larry do it. Doesn't matter.
Right, because I'm just tired of me singing all the time. I think we need to do something different.
Yeah, that's his Prometheus. He's like, it'll be fun. This album is about the creation of Larry Mullen as a lead singer. Something you never asked for. You didn't ask for this, but here it is.
Come on, Larry, fight yourself. Fight yourself.
Well, that is it. That is our alien franchise ranking. Should we go through our list or just go to the end?
I think just the highs and lows of the list are exactly that. For 9 and 8, we were all in sync. And for 2 and 1, we were all in sync. And then in the middle, a little bit of variation. Our tops and bottoms were locked in.
That's as they should be. As they should be. That's after
our
midriff
is a little bit messy.
Yeah,
midriff is messy. We all have different midriff. We're all going for different things a little bit. Yeah. Some a little skin, some not so. Some of us still have one of those belly button piercings. Like, why? Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
Some of us just have a hole of where one used to be.
But you know, we had our franchise ranking. That's our alien franchise ranking. We hope you enjoyed this episode. What was your alien franchise ranking? Share with us. Go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find all our socials. You can talk to us and tell us what your alien franchise ranking. Share it with us. Tell us what you think. Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? Let us know. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast as we enter a brand new month called November, where we talk about all the movies that we previously said no to, but now we're going to have to do it. It should be interesting. And so we'll see you then.
Shit.